Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, and I wish to welcome you to this another week of broadcasting on the Stand in the Gap radio program coming to you from the studios of the American Pastors Network. We do want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company and trust that you had a very, very good weekend and that you're looking forward to a great week in the things of the Lord. And we are delighted to be with you as always. And Sam Rohr is not with us today, but David Kistler is. And Dave, how was your weekend, my friend?
Well, Gary, it was absolutely outstanding. I finished a meeting in Lynchburg, Virginia on Wednesday evening and then drove through the night, drove home. And then Thursday afternoon late, my wife and I and our daughter Hannah made our way to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for the National Quartet Convention. And, of course, our son, Nathan, sings with the Hoppers. And so we got to spend basically 2.5 days enjoying some wonderful gospel music and connecting with some friends of ours that we not necessarily knew we were going to be at the convention, but we ended up seeing them over there, and it was just really a great, great time.
And you even ran into some people from the church I pastor, I understand.
Gary, I did. I ran into some folks, two wonderful ladies from Faith Baptist Church there in Altoona. And by the way, I won't talk about this on air except just to make reference to this. You already got a text from me, but they shared with me your verbal blunder, your Freudian slip that you made in the pulpit. So you can't get away from this.
No, you know, I can preach the truth and preach the truth and preach the truth and make a gaffe, and boy, everybody remembers that one, right? Just put me in the category of Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's the way it works, Gary. You know, all the great things that you communicate or I communicate from the pulpit are lost amidst the funny things or the gaffes that we make.
I'm always amazed we don't make more, you know, as much as we talk, as much as we use our mouths. You know that? You ever think about that?
Well, you know, Gary, there's a passage in James that talks about that, you know, that my brethren, be not many masters, don't be too anxious to teach, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In other words, because of the vast proliferation of words that come out of our mouth, we're going to be judged more severely, I guess, because the Bible says we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. And so, yeah, you know, Gary, in some ways, it is amazing that we don't make more of those blunders. But this one was just a real funny one, Gary. It was innocuous, but it was funny.
Well, we will talk about that later, ladies and gentlemen. That'll be the after the show.
That's right.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there are many things going on in the news. Of course, during our second segment today, we're going to be having with us Ed Stevens. He, of course, has been with us before. He's involved with South Florida law enforcement. Actually, he's a South Florida law enforcement detective. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the shooting that took place over in Oregon last week. And he'll have a lot of insight with us to share with us on that, I'm certain. But one of the things that Dave and I were just talking about before we went on the air is the fact that it appears as though the United States Army has a new patch that some of them will be wearing on their uniform. A combat patch worn by the United States soldiers who served in Iraq on the mission against Islamic State is drawing flak from service members and veterans who say the patch with its palm wreath, stars, and crossed scimitars, is that how you say that, looked like something the enemy would wear. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at it, I wish we could show this on the radio, when you look at it, it looks like something that is totally Islamic. There is no red, white, and blue in it. It is something that is very, very serious as far as I'm concerned. And apparently, David, it has a lot of people who are in the military all up in ire, and they should be. Army Secretary John McHugh approved the patch on March the 23rd. And the service announcement, it was announced several days later. But nevertheless, why in the world, I ask you this, David, why in the world would the United States Army put a patch on their uniform that looks totally Islamic? I mean, when you look at that patch, the first thought that comes to your mind makes you think nothing of the United States of America, but of Islam. Why would we have such a patch placed on some of the uniforms of our Army? officers and troops and so forth.
Well, Gary, you know, one of the things that that is so disturbing about this is the imagery in it and the colors that are in it. We have not talked so much about this probably at all on this radio program, but the color that is that was the favorite color of Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, and the color that is one of the, I'll use the term, this is not a term that the Muslims use necessarily, but the sacred color of Islam is green. And so this patch is heavily, heavily laced with green color. It has the two scimitars, as you said, which are two curved swords crossing each other right in the middle of this circular patch. There is a wreath in green that goes around the sides and underneath the bottom of the circular patch. And then at the top of the patch, there is a star. And on either side of the two cross swords, there are stars. And of course, there is imagery that represents and that is communicating something according to the United States Army. And if any of our listeners would like to look at the patch, you can just go to the armytimes.com website. And you can Google, you know, the patch and just take a look at it for yourself. But, Gary, it is to me troubling. And to get to your question, why in heaven's name would we want to put something like that on an American military uniform, Gary, is beyond me, except for the fact that we have talked about this. And it is widely known that many of the generals, many of those that have been in leadership that in the United States Armed Forces have been forced into retirement by Obama, and all that is left is a very Muslim-friendly component within our U.S. Armed Forces. And, Gary, this is tragic. This is absolutely tragic. This is a disgrace that any member of the American Armed Forces would be forced to wear something like this on their U.S. Army or U.S. military uniform. Gary, it's unthinkable.
Well, from what I see here in the article that I have in front of me, that it's drawing flak from a lot of people who are within the military. I have a nephew who just came back from fighting ISIS. I want to talk to him a little bit later on and see what his thoughts are and to see if he has to wear this. It would be, I think it would be a disgrace. It is a disgrace that any American soldier has got to wear this. Ladies and gentlemen, you do need to take a look at it. And, you know, we've talked many times on this particular program how it just seems like Islam is infiltrating itself into the American culture and into the Congress and into the White House. And, Dave, it seems like every time we turn a new day or turn another page, we can see more proof that Islam is really working hard to overtake our country. And, of course, in the process of working hard to overtake our country, Islam has a lot of its minions in the high places of our nation, sort of making that job a little bit easier.
Well, Gary, that was going to be my comment. We have people that are complicit with this ideology that is Islam, which is completely incompatible with the American way of life and with the United States Constitution. And when you have people in high places, and I'm talking about very high places, that are complicit with the ideology, then, Gary, we've got a serious problem in this country.
Well, we do. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the biblical and the constitutional foundings of this nation. We need to raise up patriots for the generation to come. We need to get these liberals out of the White House and out of the Senate and out of the Congress. We have a lot that we need to do. We must pray for this nation. When we come back, we'll be having with us Ed Stevens, who, of course, is involved with the law enforcement in South Florida. You'll not want to miss this time together. Stand by. We'll be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He entered Yale at age 13 and graduated with honors. He became a pastor, and his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, started the Great Awakening, a revival that swept America, uniting the colonies prior to the Revolution. He became president of Princeton. His name was Jonathan Edwards, born this day, October 5th, 1703. Jonathan married Sarah Pierpont, and their descendants included a U.S. vice president, 3 U.S. senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 professors, and nearly 100 missionaries.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And again, I encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. And I encourage you to do that because, number one, you can write to us. You can correspond with us from that particular website, and we encourage that very, very much. We always appreciate listening to your comments. And then also, that particular website is a place that if you are away from the radio signal, you can pick us up on the internet there. And actually what it does is offer a link to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. But you can listen to the program there clearly if you cannot listen to it on the radio. So I would encourage you to go there, www.standinthegapradio.com, and take a good look at that particular website from time to time. Well, as we mentioned in the first segment, we are going to be having with us again today Ed Stevens, who, of course, is involved with law enforcement down in South Florida. He's been with us before. He's a man filled with information, a man who has a lot of experience in law enforcement. Ed, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, my friend.
Thank you, Dr. Dole. My pleasure to be with you.
It's an honor to have you with us. And, you know, you just give us so much information, we don't know how to handle it sometimes, and we're ready to listen to you today. But before we actually get involved with the discussion that motivated us to have you on the program today, David has something that he came across with regard to this patch, and I'm certain that with your background in the military and your background in law enforcement, you might have something to say about this patch we're talking about as well. So, Dave, go ahead and share what you've come up with, and then I can't wait to hear what Ed has to say about it.
Well, Gary and Ed, this is what's so interesting. This patch that was approved back in March to go on the uniforms of our American military personnel that are involved in Iraq is strikingly similar to the Muslim Brotherhood emblem, which is a pair of crossed scimitars and then has also Arabic wording around the top and across the bottom with a copy or a resemblance of the Quran at the top of where the two swords are crossed. Again, if you go online, you can locate this. But this is what's so interesting, gentlemen, and this is what's so disturbing about the imagery of this patch that the Army and that our military has chosen to put on the uniforms of our men and women. Along with the emblem of the Muslim Brotherhood is this statement. Now, gentlemen, I want you to listen to this. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way, and dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. Now, gentlemen, that is a statement that comes directly from the Muslim Brotherhood. And again, this Muslim Brotherhood emblem is strikingly, disturbingly similar to this patch that now is supposed to go on the uniforms of those that serve in the United States Army. Ed, I would love to have your reflections. You served in the Marine Corps. You have been in law enforcement for well over two decades. You are a man who loves the red, white, and blue. That's one of the reasons I love and appreciate you so much. You, like Gary and myself, bleed red, white, and blue whenever you're cut. And so what is your opinion of this coming from a man who served in the Marine Corps all the years that you did?
Well, I hope that the men who are forced to wear that that heresy on a United States military uniform can come up with some type of essential gear to cover it up and bring that that twisted idea to frustration. Our men should not be forced to put any such thing on a United States military uniform. I wasn't in the Army, so I don't know Army uniform regulations, but it's normal for the Army to have patches on their arms indicating their unit, their division, certain qualifications or specialties, and that's a normal part of the Army uniform. But it's just it makes me sick to my stomach to think that my brothers in arms who have raised their right hand and sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, not any ideals of Islam, the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I emphasize domestic because I would suggest that there's nothing less than domestic enemies behind an idea like this to make our American soldiers wear something like that on their uniform. So I would hope that, you know, some commander with a backbone will stand up to that, that it would be an improper symbolism. And keep in mind, those men are going to be operating in a part of the world where symbolism is very important. Well, the symbolism,
you know,
is more.
You know, Ed, that's a great point. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is an outstanding point. And, Gary, that was something I wanted to say to you, but Ed brought it up before we could get to it. And I know this is a tad off topic as far as what we want to talk to Ed about, but the symbolism that is so rife in the Islamic world and so rich with symbolism, this says something to them that I believe is not only wholly inappropriate, I believe it's almost traitorous.
Well, absolutely. It is, and I'm glad that Ed brought that up. It is traitorous. It basically is saying to the folks over there not even such an inadvertent way. It's out there saying, we are with you. You know that? It says, we are with you. And Ed, the question that I have for you is, what if we have a real patriotic soldier who doesn't want to have that on his uniform and refuses to put it on because of what it stands for? Would that lead to a court-martial? Would that lead to some sort of punishment? I mean, where would that lead? What do you think?
It probably would. He would probably be sacrificing his military career and possibly even his individual freedom, which he's already given up a lot of individual freedom to join the military, to serve under the jurisdiction of the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But it may take just that. It's going to take somebody to stand up and be willing to place their future in jeopardy to refuse to go along with this sick idea.
Dave, I'm surprised it's taken us this long to really hear about this, and I'm surprised that there have not been those who are patriots speak out against it and refuse to put it on their uniforms.
Well, you know, Gary, that was one of the things I was going to say, that it's, this was approved in March. It is amazing. It's absolutely amazing that it's taken this long to come to the forefront. I have no doubt whatsoever there has been a very serious attempt to keep this below the surface so that it doesn't come out. But it will be something we will be talking about a lot more in the days ahead. And again, it goes back, gentlemen, to the statement that Ben Carson made, that someone serving in the presidency that is of an ideological standpoint that is Islamic in nature would be totally inappropriate. And so this kind of flows into the common stream of that whole topic. And so we'll be making much more of this in the days ahead.
And let me just say before you get into our discussion to our audience listeners, that I've got two really good sources I'm going to follow up on and see what they have to say about this. And so maybe we'll have some more information later on. Go ahead, Dave.
You bet. Thanks, Gary. Ed, I know we've got limited time here, but on Friday there was a shooting down in out in Roseburg, Oregon. It's a section of the country with which I am very, very familiar. There were 9 killed, 7 injured. We now know the gentleman's name. It was Christopher Harper Mercer, and I use the word gentleman very, very broadly. It was an individual that went in there. He was literally loaded for bear. He had 14 firearms in his possession. And immediately following the tragedy, the president conducted a press conference. And in typical Obama-esque fashion, rather than expressing out-of-the-chute condolences to the family members, he immediately called for stricter gun control laws, etc. Ed, I would love to have your perspective on this. What difference would an armed police officer on the Umpqua campus, the community college campus out there, what difference would that have made? And with over 20 years of law enforcement experience, what has the presence of guns, in the hands of appropriate individuals on a campus like that, or the lack thereof, what has that taught you down through the years?
Well, the impact it has is immeasurable, because you can't measure a negative. How many bad things have not happened because some twisted individual like this individual that murdered 9 people, how many of them have been scared away from their twisted ideas of justice and what they should do with their lives by ruining other people's lives? You can't measure how many times those instances have been averted because a police officer or somebody armed was nearby. If you had had an armed police officer or police officers on the campus, and my understanding is it's a pretty big campus, about 100 acres, so you're not talking about a small area. It needs to be patrolled by armed police officers in uniform that can respond immediately, that can dispatch immediately for help.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a serious situation, and we're going to be talking more about this when we come back. And we have with us Ed Stevens, who was a Marine and, of course, is serving currently in law enforcement in South Florida. We also have a call we're going to take when we get back, so stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back with you in just about 3 minutes as we continue with our Stand in the Gap today for this Monday. Glad to have you with us. Stay tuned. Don't run.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a
taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. A passenger train derails in Vermont.
An Amtrak train with five cars has gone off, and two of the cars have gone down over an embankment.
Lieutenant Dana Hoppe of the Montpelier Fire Department. Four people taken to a hospital. No word yet of any life-threatening injuries. That train, Amtrak number 55, heading from St. Albans, Vermont to Washington, D.C., apparently hitting a rock slide near Roxbury, Vermont. One body found at sea in a survival suit amid other debris. The search goes on for a missing cargo ship.
The Coast Guard is sure the El Faro sank in the midst of Hurricane Joaquin.
We are still looking for survivors.
33 crew members were on board. Captain Mark Feeder says one of the ship's two lifeboats is not accounted for. The other was found empty, as were floating survival suits.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown in Miami. Fox News, we report. You decide.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come, expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area, streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, as you know, this particular program is driven by what is taking place in the news. And of course, we are talking about what took place out in Oregon last Friday, I believe it was, there at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon, where there were 9 killed, 10, including the shooter. and 13 others injured. That's, of course, why we have Ed Stevens on with us. But we've also been talking about this particular patch, this new patch that looks very much Islamic, that is being put on the uniforms of some of our military, particularly those who have been fighting over in fighting ISIS over there in the Middle East, in Syria particularly. Ed Stevens indicated that he doesn't like it. We don't like it. And we even have a phone call from a fellow who is a 20-year veteran who's very upset with the patch. Mac, welcome aboard. I can imagine where you're going to go with this, but let's hear from you anyway. Mac?
Yeah, it's just, I was not so much shocked. It doesn't surprise me, but the very fact that when you're the person you were talking to says enemies foreign and domestic, and it seems to be that our biggest enemy is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He's going out of his way to destroy the military. I mean, the very fact that there's a military investigation over over, you know, collateral damage. I mean, our soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen are just over there like they're toys in the hands of these people, all to look good. And they face so much as far as having to make the right decision. And the enemy we're facing uses their own children and doctors to hide behind, and they have no regard to their own people. But we're supposed to protect them. We're supposed to not hurt them. And then our military gets vilified, and now we have this patch thing, which makes no sense at all. It's just like you know. Men of God are saying it's demonic in nature. It's disgusting. And that being said, Pastor, it's, you know, as far as what we can do, I've been thinking about, you know, starting a march, call it Max March on Washington, and start it maybe sometime in the summer, maybe Memorial Day, something like that, and just try to gin up interest from some of the major conservative talk shows and shows like yours here to just go down there and try to make these people understand. I mean, in light of what the scripture says, they'll turn away from the truth. So I'm just kind of looking for advice, looking for a solution, something to, you know, be bold in the Lord, but this should bother us, and it really bothers me. I'm kind of, as you can tell, I'm really shook up about it and angry.
You know, Mac, that's a great point. I love the title, Max March. If you feel led of the Lord to continue with that, boy, you keep us updated on it, and we'll do what we can to help you, and we stand with you on it. Gary, Mac, and Ed, I want to just say this. All of this, this thing about the patch that has come to the surface, is the latest in a long line, a litany of things that have been very Muslim or Islamic friendly. Gentlemen, we have one of our soldiers who defended a young boy who had been raped multiple times by one of the Iraqi security forces, and they roughed up that Iraqi security force member for his repeated rape of a 10-year-old boy. And now our soldier and his comrade, who kind of shoved the guy to the ground and maybe bloodied his nose a little bit, they're the ones now that are the bad guy, not the guy who was taking advantage of a 10-year-old Iraqi boy. So again, Gary, what does this say? Ed, what does this say? Mac, what does this say to where our loyalties are? And again, I would agree with you, Mac. I think it comes from the very top all the way down. It's an absolute travesty. And Ed, I'd love to have your thoughts on that, if you wouldn't mind sharing them.
Travesty would be the most appropriate word to describe it. I'm familiar with that case. And you've got a senior military officer being court-martialed and or drummed out of the military because he took a stand against something so depraved as the forcible sexual exploitation of a young boy. So that's a pretty sad commentary. And something has to be done. People have to take a stand, both those of us outside the military, myself, I'm retired, and those inside the military. And I think that Mac's idea of a march to call attention to it would be a tremendous idea and would at least be a start. We've got to support our men in the military. We've got to call attention to what's being done to these military officers who in fact, one of them later was killed in action. And I believe it is his father that's bringing this issue forward after, I think it was a actually a Marine Lance Corporal, Dave, if I can just correct one thing. It was in Afghanistan, and it was a Marine Lance Corporal who later died in action. And his father, as I understand it, is carrying forward this this struggle to to call attention to this barbarity of these, I hate to say it, but Islamists and Islamic military brutal people with no moral compass that think that it's a culturally correct and acceptable thing to exploit young boys in that manner.
Mac, I appreciate your call, but before you go, I want to ask you, you were a 20-year veteran. What branch of the service were you involved with, sir?
I was in the Navy, and the special ops part was is multifaceted. I was with a mobile communications contingency, which was direct support, you know, Marines, all that. And long before that, I got up close and personal with the SEALs. I don't know if you've heard of the Macheteros, that they were a violent terrorist group in Puerto Rico. And I was down there when that happened, and the SEALs came in to get me to take me over to Vieques Island to be an interpreter to quell a riot. But before you get off, I'm not real adept with the Internet and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to be listening. I'm going to be calling different radio shows to organize this thing. And the more calls I hear coming in, the popularity as it gins up, then we'll decide, you know, it's like, I wanted to say this. I'm glad you called back. You got me back on, Pastor. If Rush Limbaugh could get something like Dan's bake sale, and everybody flooded to Colorado over something like this, this is a whole lot more important than Dan's bake sale. We are talking about our country going down. We've got to do something.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Mac, and along with Dave and Ed, I'm going to say, you know, if you can get that going, so do it. We will stand behind you 100% in our network of stations. And what I like about it, Mac, is that you're doing something. A lot of people talk about things, but they don't do anything. And these are days not only to speak up, but to stand up and to do. And that's what you're doing. And please keep us informed as to how things go. But let's go forward with Mac's march. You'll have our support. Mac, thank you very, very much for calling in. But I want to go back to you now, Ed, if I may. And we're talking about things taking place in our government and in our military that we would not have even had as a dream 5 years ago. Do you think that Islam has infiltrated itself not only in person, as it were, throughout the Pentagon? I'm going to try to bring this home, but throughout the Pentagon. But in light of some of these things that we're talking about, the rape situation, this particular patch, has it also infiltrated the thought of people in the Pentagon and in our government, to the point that people are thinking Islam today and look at a patch like this and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a very honorable thing to put on an Army uniform. Is that a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. And it begins with a lie that is couched inside of, you know, cleverly crafted words and phrases. And then it gets soft sold, you know. It's sold as something not too invasive, not too offensive. It creeps around on the fringes and keeps itself hidden somewhat, and then it insidiously penetrates various areas of our society, including education. I mean, we see all the time reports of children being taught to memorize and repeat the five pillars of Islam in grade school. Why is that? Is anything about, are the Ten Commandments taught in grade school?
That's a good point. We hear situations like that all of the time. And you know, Dave, it's interesting. We've talked about things like this in former programs that you and I have been on over the years. It's a shame to see things like this coming into fruition all around us today. I think when we first started talking about Islam in higher places in Washington, D.C., people doubted us. Now they're seeing it. This is the time to stand up and speak out. Don't wait. This is the time to do something. Folks, we're going to have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Ed Stevens and Dave and myself, and who knows where we will go. We don't. Do you? We'll tell you when we come back. Stay tuned.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
There's an average of 11 student-to-student assaults per day in Philadelphia School District. That's 19,752 over the last 5 years. There's an average of 5 student-to-teacher assaults per day. That's over 4,000 over 5 years. That's a total of 23,752 assaults over 5 years in the Philadelphia School District.
Should you be considering a different public school option? Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Your child deserves to be safe. Visit www.palx.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785 to apply today. That's PALCS.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785.
From the Pennsylvania Family Council, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Two major issues we're focused on right here in Pennsylvania, the sanctity of life and religious freedom, are front and center in Harrisburg. As the budget impasse drags on, there remains an opportunity to make the case to defund the abortion giant Planned Parenthood and to shift those state dollars to community health care centers that provide comprehensive care to the needy without any entanglement with abortion or the harvesting of body parts, as Planned Parenthood does. Meantime, the so-called Fairness Act being considered by the legislature is a major threat to religious freedom, and we need your help to stand against it. You can find out more about both these issues at our Citizen Action Center, which can be found on our website at pafamily.org. And while you're there, you can also check out our upcoming Friends of the Family Banquet, featuring noted author and radio host Eric Metaxas. Again, you can find out more about the issues and about our banquet at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, along with Dave Kistler, we have with us Ed Stevens, who is involved with law enforcement down in South Florida, a guest on our program from time to time, and also a former Marine, and we are delighted to have him with us. We want to shift back a little bit to the shooting that took place out in Oregon last Friday there at the school, the university. Actually, it was a community college, the Umpqua. That must be Indian. U-M-P-Q-U-A, the Umpqua Community College there in Roseburg, Oregon. And, you know, Dave, it just seems like every time somebody's shot, somebody, including our president, comes out and says, well, we've got to do away with guns. I guess that means we need to do away with automobiles because people get killed in automobile accidents as well, right?
Well, you know, Gary, it was interesting. You know, I tweeted you and several others over the weekend this tweet, and I'm going to read it. If you don't have to give up your car because some drive drunk with theirs, then why should you have to give up your gun because some commit a crime with theirs? Mm-hmm. So, right. You know, Gary, the logic is the same. What is so tragic is, Gary, over the weekend, the man who killed these folks, Chris Mercer, his dad did an interview. His name is Ian Mercer. He did an interview with CNN in which he, in essence, blamed the guns as being the problem. In fact, I'm going to quote him exactly. He said, "That's what guns are. The killers. It's as simple as that. It's black and white." He then went on and blamed Congress for not enacting more stringent gun laws, and he said it this way, quote, "They talk about gun laws, they talk about gun control. Every time something like this happens, they talk about it and nothing is done." So in other words, Gary, it's not my son's fault. It's not his corrupt, depraved heart that's responsible for this. It's Congress's fault, and it's the implement itself that is at fault. And by the way, gentlemen, over the weekend, someone tweeted me an excellent picture. It says this, that Cain killed Abel with a rock. The problem is not the implement. The problem is the heart. Are we going to outlaw rocks? And that's a great question and a great point. Ed, I would love to have your input on this. When someone comes along and tries to blame the gun rather than dealing with the heart issue, which is really what this is, what does that say to you, my friend?
It's just a continuation of the leftist statist mentality, constantly diverting from the truth, from the root cause, which is that in the 1960s, this country and the United States Supreme Court made a conscious decision to reject God, to get God out of the schools, to try to move God and the Bible out of public discourse, out of the public arena, and we're seeing the results of it today. It's ludicrous. The comments of the father don't surprise me at all. They indicate where his own son's cowardice came from. His son made some defenseless victims crawl on the floor, answer a question as far as religion, and if they were a Christian, they got shot in the head. So it's obvious that his son, was a sick, twisted individual with no moral compass, blaming organized religion for his own failure, for his own depravity, and it's a symptom of the growing hostility throughout higher education. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I teach at a local university. It's a result of the sickness in throughout social media, the late night talk shows, and Hollywood, all turning against Christianity, trying to say that Christianity is the root cause of all the ills in our society and in our government, and it's just a lie. And you and I both know who the author of all lies are.
Oh, yeah.
These are lies spawned in the pit of hell, and people use them and twist them to their convenience, as did this gentleman out in Oregon, blaming the implements. There's not a single gun in the world that's jumped up and killed anybody in all of human history. It only happens when it falls into the wrong hands or is used for malicious intent.
And it goes back to show the depravity of mankind in reality. We want to take another call. John, you have a comment or two that you want to contribute to our discussion here this afternoon? John?
Yeah, let me slip in just a minute, gentlemen. I have a son fighting in an area. He's involved in the military in active combat, has a senior ranking officer. We can't communicate with him. We know he has very critical needs on the issue of getting him backed up with support stateside to get around this political correctness, one of which is the pedophile issue. The other is now emerging as this this patch. It is extremely difficult. We can mount senators and congressmen and high-ranking military, former military officials to come to his aid, but we can't communicate with him. He can't even communicate with his wife on these issues. So it's very, very difficult to deal with someone active in the field, in combat, because they're obviously being monitored in phone calls and whatever. So it's a very, very harsh reality, and we don't know what to do about it. He can't get stateside, and even on R&R, so it's going to be very difficult.
John, I appreciate your call, and you know I appreciate your statement because I have a son who is a major in the United States Army, and we've experienced that as well. You cannot communicate with them. They cannot communicate with you on certain subjects that you would like to. I mean, sometimes you can talk to them, but you can't talk specifics, and they won't talk with you specifically, even when you're with them face-to-face, you know, because they're trained to do that. However, on the other hand, and by the way, thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it. We're just about out of time here. But on the other hand, Dave, you know, John brought up this idea of the political correct folks and so forth and that whole attitude out there. It has been this PC that has led us to this patch being on the uniform of an Army officer. People don't make that connection, but that's, you know, it's because of PC for the past 25 years that we've got Islamic-looking patches on the uniforms of our Army personnel who fought over in Syria.
Well, Gary, you're 100% correct, and it goes back to what Ed said. The father of political correctness is this defiance and rejection of God that started so overtly back in the early 1960s with the removal of God and prayer from our public education system and from the public sector and the public square. And so this is what you end up with when you have no moral anchor whatsoever. And our founders understood this, Gary. They said that our Constitution, John Adams said, was written for a religious people. It was wholly unfit for the governance of any other. And so PC and all the stuff that we're seeing happen right now is a direct result of that.
Well, it is. Ed Stevens, thank you for being with us on the program again today. Lord willing, we might be able to have you back in the future, if you're willing, along with the Lord willing, because you always have great things to add to our program. And ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blessing to have you all with us as well. And the Lord willing, we will be back with you in about 23 hours with the Tuesday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I trust that you'll be there. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.